Well, I know that some of you, I'm probably not one of them, think that these frozen lakes and rivers of Minnesota are one of the most beautiful experiences of winter. There's ice fishing, cross-country skiing, snowmobiling, and ice sailing. Standing on the ice, you know that down below that ice, there's a world that you cannot see. The water is moving, the fish feeding, the river currents flowing. I think that's what the poet William Stafford is describing when he says, "Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life." Well, what does the poet mean, ask me whether what I have done is my life? Now, for some of us, these words sound ridiculous, words that we might expect from a poet. Of course, what I have done is my life. I was born and raised here, went away to college, moved back here, married, raised a family, had a couple careers. That's what I've done. That's my life. But I think the poet is inviting us to think differently about our lives. There's that frozen river with the hidden current flowing beneath the ice. The poet is talking about the life we live beneath the outward appearances of our lives. The poet is inviting us to reflect on the meaning and the purpose of our lives. The poem asks us the deeper meaning of who we are and what we're doing and whether the life that we're living is the life we are meant to live. So is what I do my life, or is there more to it? As a person of faith, I hear in these poets' words the questions, what does my life mean? What am I meant to be doing with my life? Who does God call me to be right now? Those questions go beneath the surface to the life that is hidden, like the river beneath the ice. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. A little farther down the shore, Jesus saw James and his brother John in their boat, mending their nets. Immediately, Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and followed him. What's interesting about this story, as with many stories in the Gospel of Mark, is the absence of details. We're told very little about these four men, whether they knew anything about Jesus or had had any prior contact with him. They do not speak in the story. We're not told their thoughts. Jesus alone speaks, "Follow me," and they follow. They do not ask where, why, or what's the plan. They just leave their nets and go. Now, much is often made of how heroic these men are. They suddenly drop everything and go, presumably not knowing where they are going or why. All my life, I've heard sermons lifting up Peter, Andrew, James, and John as the point of this story. I've always lifted up my ancestors, also who were Christian missionaries to India, starting in 1835. They left everything familiar to them to go to a strange land to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've always thought the point of these stories was that to be a disciple of Jesus means to have the faith to deny oneself, to be willing to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. Can you do what they did? Will you do it? Are the questions usually asked. Will you decide to follow Jesus? So yes, what these four disciples and what my missionary ancestors did was remarkable. But is that the main point of this story? Is the story first and foremost about their decision to follow? Well, I want to suggest a different reading. When one studies carefully all the stories in the opening chapters of the Gospel of Mark, as scholars do, it is clear that these stories are first and foremost about who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who comes proclaiming the good news of God, that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is here. Jesus announces that God is doing a new thing in the world. The primary emphasis of these stories early in Mark's gospel is to tell us that God's power is at work through Jesus. Jesus speaks, heals, teaches, and calls people by the power of God at work in him. In this story about Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Mark's gospel is telling us that Jesus is the one powerfully who calls people and brings them into the kingdom of God. The story is first and foremost about God. Author Barbara Brown Taylor is right when she says this is not simply a hero story about four courageous fishermen who decide to sacrifice all to serve the Lord. No, as Mark presents it, the story is a miracle story about the power of God at work in the lives of these four fishermen. God acted, something happened to these men, and with no questions asked, they left their nets and followed Jesus. Through Jesus, the call of God was powerfully at work in their lives. Taylor writes, "This is a story about the power of God and not first a story about us. This is a story about God and God's ability not only to call us, but also to create us as people who are able to follow. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off the one who calls us." The story of Jesus' call of his first disciples speaks to us today. God calls everyone and is powerfully at work in our lives, often in quiet, hidden ways of which we're not aware. And if we're not aware of it, maybe being more aware is about learning to listen, being more attentive to the call of God. And hearing comes by paying attention, not just to what's happening on the surface, but to what's happening down inside us, where God so often speaks. Vocation is often the word we use for God's call in our lives, from the Latin word vocare, meaning to call. Vocation doesn't just refer to a job, career, or profession we choose. Vocation refers to all the ways in which God works in and through us, enabling us to love our neighbors with the gifts and talents God has given us. It's about the promise of the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in us to help us live out our callings. Quaker writer and theologian Parker Palmer says, "Vocation does not come from our own willfulness. It comes from listening. Vocation does not mean a goal that I pursue. It means a calling that I hear." That means listening to our lives, listening for God's voice saying, "Follow me." The call is a gift to be received by the power of God's grace. We do make choices, but God is the one who calls and is at work in those choices. As someone has said, although there is a sense in which we choose to follow Jesus, in our choosing, we have been chosen. In our seeking, we have been sought. The Gospel of John says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." It's so easy to live our lives on the surface, where the appearances are to pursue our own goals and our own plans, and to miss the deeper, truer life to which God calls us. So who is God calling you to be, and what is God calling you to do with your life today, tomorrow, this week, in your daily work and routines, in your family, in your relationships? Is God calling you to something new and different, or to do what you are already doing, but with a new sense that it is God's work? Follow me, Jesus said to them that day by the sea, and somehow they knew. They just knew. So they left their nets and followed him. It's a story about the power of God at work in the lives of God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.